Good afternoon. Welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, August 6th, 2001. In the Creekside room this afternoon is Eunice Scarf. Today's session number is SCE 2001-06, and it's titled Faith and Practice, Stories of Spiritual Journey. Let's listen in.
A workshop, you're invited to write. We'll be writing at least 15 minutes or 20 minutes in every session this week. And you'll be invited to read aloud from what you've written, and that's entirely optional. If you read aloud from what you've written, you'll largely get a response of thank you for reading. This is not critique, this is not evaluation, and this is not a time when anyone tells you that you should quit your job and become a writer. On the contrary, that perhaps you should never put pen to paper. You don't get either of those extremes which some of you may have encountered, either great praise for your writing or great dismissal of your writing. Neither of those happen. What we're interested in is each and everyone's individual story, insofar as today we record it. So the question is less about writing it, though my reasons for considering that important are numerous, and more about what is the piece of story that you have that today you want to record, today you want to make a permanent record of, today you want to write. And sometimes you'll come with a very clear idea of what you want to do, and sometimes you come just with a blank page, and I will every day give you a number of suggestions for opening up story, for beginning story. When I do the workshops during the year, I call this search and rescue writing. What is it you have? What do you wish to retain, to make a permanent record? And you go exploring, and by and large, I find that there is no end to story for any individual. One question which I don't want to dwell on, but I do want to flag and to raise, is that I was brought up in the Lutheran tradition in Seattle. I was brought up on story, as any of you who were brought up on the Bible were brought up. That is, it is a collection, is it not, of stories. Somebody does something at some time, someplace, with consequences. The text is filled with story. And the question I ask myself, including, which I wasn't aware of at the time, that in one part of the Bible there's four versions of story. And when I finally got into literary criticism, I realized how very advanced this was in the year, whatever year it was, when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all invited to tell their version, even though each duplicates the previous. All four versions were welcome and stood and gave an alternative viewpoint. It is, I think, not irrelevant to consider that every individual has a version and that every individual's version of story is of significance and importance. Perhaps story invites us to consider the individual in ways that are honoring and urgent, that each individual's story is equally important. And now we fill up the circle, so we won't go wider all of a sudden. So, story. A second thing I want to flag before we begin relative to my ground I stand on is the question I ask myself. Where is the story told in a text between hardcover and a published version that reflects or represents or records any world, anything that's similar to the world in which I grew up in? I don't know if you've asked yourself that question, but if I were to ask it to you now, and I am, what? Oh, I think I'm supposed to tell them I'm starting. I'm starting. I always wish they'd answer. There's my thing. I have started. We are now starting. Do you think that's good enough? Begin. The question I ask is, in your own experience, and some of you may know each other's experience, and for the rest of us, we're all strangers, where is a text that comes close to representing your lived experience, inner experience, or outer experience? That is, you could read something that's set outside of this place and time and say, that represents my emotional lived experience, but not my place and time. Is there any text? And let's just take a few of them before we begin, because it's a question that I began to consider quite urgent and in fact influenced my own entry into writing and my own decision to do writing workshops, is where is our story told? Sometimes I ask this question by saying, let's do Holden before Stephen King gets a hold of it. It's our story here. I don't think it has been told, at least in a fiction or a story. But set that aside, where is the lived story of your own experience been represented? Anyone who has run into any text that you'd say, this is like it was for me? I'm curious. Search. That's in anything you've read. I would guess there's at least one person from Minnesota in this class.
Is that a hint?
No, I'm not calling on you. I'm not putting
you. No, that's on the end. Is that a
help?
Oh, no, I've got nothing in. Oh, I've got nothing in particular. Okay. It's just, you know, where's Minnesota? Some of you are Scandinavian, not all. Some of you are Lutheran, not all. Are we on the page? I say we, assuming there's some common denominator between each of us. I don't know what it is, but some common denominator. Yeah.
I don't know if this is what you're looking for, but Ole Rolbaug wrote all kinds of books, Giants of the Earth, Ship of Longing, Kirschmavik, I think, and all of them seem to end as much of Scandinavian literature in tragedy and, you know, heartbreak. And I think that's, when you say Minnesota, there's just a whole lot of we Scandinavians who probably, you know something of that melancholy kind of.
Okay. I'm curious, how many of you have read Giants in the Earth? Just curious.
I read it to get inside my great-grandfather's skin, who came from Norway in 1880.
Okay, which is just about identical. A Rolo wrote, published in 1928, or 27, I can't remember which, but he was writing the 1880s, the first settlement on the Great Plains. And if you haven't looked at it, and that period does interest you, he's got some very interesting things going on, including featuring the lostness of Barrett. Immense lostness relative to landscape and loss of people and loss of family, loss of community, and the fear of that flat landscape relative to the Norwegian one she'd come from, where you could always see where you were by virtue of height. In the end, she ends up getting into the trunk and putting the trunk over her head day after day after day at the worst period of her fear. So that may look at what for some of you is ancestors, what for some of you is place. How many of you come from the Midwest or have people or live in the Midwest? All right, that puts landscape, that puts religion, and that puts country of origin. For some of you, not for all of you. Anyone else who has a text that locates you or your people?
I would say that I come from Montana, and I grew up in Montana. And the writings of James Welch, which are pretty grim and horrible, retell the story of being near the Native American reservations and the horror of alcohol among that people.
Okay.
And you combine it with highways and driving.
Okay. Anyone else? Are you still thinking? The question's still open, and then I'm going to conclude by saying there is no reason why each one of you, every one of you, at least one of you, can't put your story into text. And that's always my evangelical fervor in teaching, is will the story rise up from the beginning of your writing into a text that can be a public text? Why are we? And again, I say we, which has the blurry edges. Who are we? It's a large community. When I say we, I can think of texts that put the Jewish tradition on the page, texts that put French Catholic on the page, Irish Catholic on the page, Episcopal on the page. I've just been reading Sue Miller, and as a husband who's a minister in the Presbyterian Church, I believe. But I don't know many that put the world I knew, some of which is similar to the world you knew. So whatever your world is, I ask you, where is it? And if it isn't there, would you like to write it? That's the end of my warm-up. And the question of why we haven't written really fascinates me, puzzles me. I've been asking this question for a decade. Where is your world? Where is the Protestant world? where is those of you are standing, where's the Scandinavian world? And when I mentioned that list, this is my list that brought me to the question. Scandinavian, Lutheran, third generation, origins in the Midwest. If yours is different, make that list and ask where is that. But I'm speaking here for myself and what brought me to writing. Okay. I have set up a writing workshop this week, and we could spend the whole hour talking about why write, why record, what's the function of art, what's the function of fiction, what's the function of memoir, what's the function of story. But let's set that aside in order to get to doing it. Those questions, I hope, will stir in your mind. If you're here, you have some desire to put words on the page, to record, to express. And I've flagged this week the tie that binds as an image. You know the hymn, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love." And I was thinking to myself, the tie that binds, one tie that binds, is story, that makes a community connected. To hear another person's story, to know the story of the individuals, extends and strengthens community. So that's the umbrella under which I'm beginning this week, that something happens when we write and tell our stories. And one of those things is the nature of community. And I'm using a process which any of you can take back into the communities in which you live. Not just for the purpose I said first, to promote novelists and all of us, but a second one, quite different, to work with others in extending community. You can invite new people into a group through the process that we're going to use. You can make a space for everyone in a church community by virtue of very formally getting a story going Sunday after Sunday. And hence, the process I'm using is one I invite you to take away. So today, having said tie that binds, let's do some writing, let's tell a piece of our story. I'm inviting you to look at those times in your life that have to do with spiritual awareness, spiritual practice, spiritual growth, spiritual development. However, having said that's my theme today, I'm inviting you to write on anything you like, up to and including the diary of today at Holden Village, Monday. I will always give you a specific suggestion, but it's your time to write. We'll be writing for about 15 minutes. Choose something else if you like. So what I'd like to do is give you about four or five avenues into this issue of my spiritual life, my relationship with the divine, the absence of spirit in my life, if there has been a time. I suppose we're all inside the human condition here, which may mean that sometimes we felt utterly separate from the divine, abandoned by, unknown by, the absence of spirit or the presence of spirit in our lives and our relationship to that. That's the large general. Big umbrella is story, and the little umbrella today is our relationship. The first one I'd like to suggest to you, now I'm going to give you about five, and if the first one you like, you can start writing straight away. The first one is, now let's see. This is as bad as bringing a cell phone, in my opinion. You don't all feel that way, but I do, and I'm apologizing because I couldn't get my attention to work. So I'm going to have to read off this. I'm going to give you, first of all, a line from Emily Carr, who is a Canadian painter. And when I give you a line, feel free to use it. Don't assume that's plagiarism. Take the line as your first line, if you like. Write down that it's Emily Carr, this line, but then feel free to use it if it opens up your story. So, entry point number one, a very brief line, and it's, "All our Sundays were exactly alike." All our Sundays were exactly alike. That invites you to go back into memory of an earlier time. It could be your family of origin, or your family now, or your time now. But that invites you to go back. All our Sundays were exactly alike. And do the way in which you celebrated or observed the Sabbath. You can start Saturday night preparations. So you're taking a day. It's one way that memory works. It collects itself around the day, our Sunday. What did we do? All Sundays were exactly alike. Of course, some of you could flip that and say none of our Sundays were ever alike and talk about that. So please, if you like, write that one down. All our Sundays were exactly alike, and that's the first line of the autobiography of Emily Carr. So that's number one. Number two is to invite you to do a history. And you can't do the whole thing today, but there's a way of getting an outline for a history of your own spiritual life, religious belief, spiritual life. And I'm going to use those both. I think they're quite different, but use whichever one you wish. Religious belief, spiritual practice, a history. And it might help for this first to make a list. Go into those moments you remember as luminous moments or major moments in your own experience of the divine or understanding of belief. So I'm going back and forth between spiritual practice and religious belief. So you could jot down half a dozen or a dozen. Confirmation, what did it mean to you? A moment of mystery or magic or the inexplicable, the awareness of the unseen. In nature, in music, in art, in relationship, where do these moments come? Can somebody give me one example of what would go on this list so we're all talking about the same thing?
Birth of a child.
The birth of a child. Fine. You don't have to worry about getting them in chronological order. Throw them out on the list, and then you could look at them and say, I'm going to talk about one of these, or I'm going to expand each of these, but I'd start with the list. It's one of the easiest ways into story. A moment when you felt you had loss of faith. A moment when it was restored. What was that moment about? So you're kind of doing search and rescue for moments. Make a list and begin to talk about one, whichever one draws you, whichever one invites you. On this list might be text that you read, something you read that was a major moment, a major change. So that's the second one. If you're ready to write, go right ahead. I'm going to do a few more. The third one is an invitation to do a dialogue with the wisdom figure or the divine or God, as you understand him or her. The Holy, Holy One, Dan said this morning. And a dialogue means just that, that you talk back and forth. You speak to the presence, and you give language to that person to speak back to you. It's a conversation. What is it you want me to do next could be a question that begins, but you are to write the answer. So you write for the divine and for yourself. Give voice to both. And this is to stir the soil of your understanding. Maybe that was no accident. Stir the soul of your understanding of who is it that you are in relationship with. How do you envision them? How do you image? How do you understand? How are you nourished by? So a dialogue, just like a play, just like a conversation. And I'd start with a question to the divine and write the answer. Okay, and I've got two others, I believe. I don't want to confuse you, but I do want to give you choice. So if you're ready to start, even leave the room if there's too many words for you. This one I really like. I just found it in... this could be on tomorrow's list. thanks so much for that. I think I'll attempt to do a course. Well, not distressing. This is from the novel Four Letters of Love by Williams, published in 1998 in Ireland. And this is how it begins. When I was 12 years old, God spoke to my father for the first time. God didn't say much. He told my father to be a painter and left it at that, returning to a seat amongst the angels and watching through the clouds over the gray city to see what would happen next. At 12 then, my world changed. My father came home in his gray suit one evening, sat down to tea, and said, I'm finished working in the office. My mother thought he meant that day. I knew he meant he had stopped for good. I put my head down on my hands, sitting at the tea table. I sat and listened to my parents discuss the end of my childhood. Let's repeat that. When I was 12 years old, God spoke to my father for the first time. God didn't say much. He told my father to be a painter. Now think what you can do with that. You can start with an age. When I was 8 years old, it doesn't have to be when my father, when I was 8 years old, God spoke to me for the first time. He said, do you understand how you can use this form to enter into your own story? Choose an age. Enter into an age that you were when you first felt called or spoken to or guided. And that's from a novel by Williams. Four Letters of Love, it's called.
With Williams' first name?
Neil. And the reason I didn't give it to you is because I don't know how to pronounce it. And I thought somebody Irish here might catch me. N-I-A-L-L. Anybody know how you pronounce it?
Well, what was the title of the book again?
Nail. Okay. Four Letters of Love.
Four Letters.
It's a novel. And it has entirely to do with the way the child's childhood was altered, changed forever, because God called. And let's see, I think I'd like to give you one last one. Okay, this is the last one, and this is Peter Carey. Peter Carey. If you write these lines down, you'll have 5 prompts to work with on every Monday morning for the next 5 weeks. So I do encourage you to write them all down. Each will open up something later. Pick one for today. Peter Carey, C-A-R-E-Y, is an Australian writer who wrote Oscar and Lucinda. You may have seen one of you, you may have read the book. And there's one page in the middle of that novel that begins, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, and I believed. And then it lists everything they believed, and it starts, we believed the miracle of the loaves and fishes. We believed that God led the people of Israel out of Egypt. It lists and lists and lists what they believed, and the last line is, at Christmas we made cardboard stars and hung them on the Christmas tree. We had none of the doubts of the 1860s. So I invite you to use that line. My mother, my father, my sisters and brother, and I believed. And you can again go back into childhood and you might change that and say, I now believe. Then I believe. Now I believe. Is a way of setting that one up. Can you do something of your own choosing? You can. Story of the relationship to the spiritual. And I take Kim Chernin's definition that relationship is, spiritual is the relationship to the unseen. To take seriously the unseen. It's a very general description. A relationship to the unseen and the nature of that. So what do you wish to record for yourself today? We'll write for 15 minutes. And if you'd like to sit at one of the tables, do. And I'll call time and I'll be interrupting you. We'll be finished and then we'll listen to stuff. Anything about repeating? You don't have to watch your watch, but I'll be calling you at 25 past. I would go as fast as you can with as little planning as you can and no worry about spelling, punctuation, grammar, form or style or confusion. Go into the confusion. This is first draft. This is not a final copy.